Good morning. It's Wednesday, May 21st. I'm Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, big cuts at federal emergency planning agencies as severe storm season arrives, why students in Oklahoma will soon be instructed to look for 2020 election discrepancies, and the NBA's Age of Chaos. But first, to an issue that abortion rights activists have spent years warning about. Laws that restrict abortion or give legal rights to fetuses can lead to scenarios where the rights of the person who is pregnant get pitted against the fetus they're carrying. We're seeing this play out in Georgia right now, where over the last few months, a hospital has been keeping a brain-dead pregnant woman alive so she can carry her pregnancy to term. Under Georgia law, abortion is banned in most cases after about 6 weeks of pregnancy. Adriana Smith, a 30-year-old mother and nurse, went to a hospital in February when she was 8 weeks pregnant with an intense headache. Her mother told the local NBC affiliate, 11 Alive, what happened next.
They gave her some medication, but they didn't do any tests. They didn't do any CT scans. If they did, they would have caught it.
What doctors had seemingly missed were blood clots in her brain. She was discharged. But just one day later, she woke up gasping for air, and she was rushed to a different hospital. Her blood clots were diagnosed, and within hours, she was declared brain dead. But Smith's family says that doctors at Emory University Hospital have told them they cannot stop or remove the devices that are allowing Smith to continue breathing because of Georgia's abortion law. The law includes an exception if an abortion is necessary to save the life of the woman, but in this case, the family says the doctors are claiming Smith's life is not at risk, so the rights the state affords to fetuses takes precedent. Georgia's attorney general released a statement saying that Georgia's law does not require medical professionals to keep a pregnant person alive on life support if they are brain dead. As of now, the hospital plans to keep her on life support until August, when doctors intend to deliver her baby via C-section. Emory Healthcare said it couldn't comment on the individual case for privacy reasons and that it seeks input from clinical and legal experts to make decisions. Smith's mother told the local NBC affiliate she believes it ultimately should have been up to the family to make this decision.
And I just want to be clear on something. We want her to have her baby. We want her life to continue throughout her children. But at the same time, to see her lay there like that, for that length of time, the grieving process for us, it can't even start.
And she says doctors have told them the baby has fluid in the brain.
My grandson may be blind, may not be able to walk, wheelchair bound. We don't know if he'll live once she has him.
The family has decided to name the baby Chance. The director of the Maternal Fetal Medicine Division at George Washington University told the Washington Post the odds of the baby being born healthy by the end of this are, quote, very, very small. We are in the middle of severe weather season. The U.S. has seen over 850 tornadoes this year, much higher than the usual number for this time of year, which is around 600, according to the National Weather Service. The images coming out of Kentucky in particular are shocking. After a series of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes over the weekend, with entire neighborhoods flattened, homes destroyed, and communities in mourning. Carrie Davis from London, Kentucky, showed Fox News the wreckage of her home.
There's a trailer behind us that's on top of my house, a whole trailer, and it blew out the cars, and my neighbors were terrified. He got two broken legs, and she had a big laceration on her face, but she lived her whole life, and this has never happened in this area.
With the frequency and severity of major storms on the rise, this has raised questions about how well-equipped federal agencies like FEMA and NOAA are to prepare for and respond to severe weather events. Both have recently been subject to deep cuts by DOGE. Since returning to office, President Trump has threatened to disband FEMA entirely, and he fired the acting head after he said he disagreed with that plan. The agency's preparedness plans, along with billions of dollars in disaster assistance and grant funding, have been stalled. The administration stopped approving new money for a federal program that has historically supported disaster-prone states like Florida, Oklahoma, California, and Missouri. The administration also halted federal programs to reduce wildfire risk in the western U.S. About a third of FEMA's permanent full-time workforce has been fired or accepted buyouts. At the National Weather Service, which falls under NOAA, fewer weather balloons are being sent into the air. Seth Borenstein, a science writer with the AP, recently explained to PBS NewsHour how they work and why they're important.
Normally, the Weather Service puts out 100 balloon launches twice a day. So since this has happened, about 17 different stations are not launching either at all or just once a day. 4 years ago, that was only 9 stations. It means all the information that goes into your forecast, which goes into your apps or your television forecasts, all that information is just a little bit poorer, forecasts a little weaker.
The Weather Service has been hit by staffing cuts, too. According to an AP analysis, almost half of all National Weather Service forecast offices nationwide have a 20% vacancy rate. That's double the rate from 4 years ago. And the Union for the National Weather Service workers says, for the first time in decades, not all forecast offices have 24/7 staffing. We saw some of these effects in Kentucky over the weekend. A local weather office that serves the eastern part of the state, which saw the highest number of fatalities, had lost employees to federal cuts. They had no meteorologists left working overnight. And USA Today reports that the office had to scramble to call in workers to help fill the gaps. Kentucky's Democratic Governor Andy Beshear said that while he was worried about the cuts more broadly, he didn't see any evidence that they impacted the agency's response.
The National Weather Service is just an amazing organization. I work with them every day, every week in this job. They work so hard. And if you look especially at the flooding disasters, on a couple of them, they gave us a week's worth of notice.
Earlier this month, 5 former National Weather Service leaders published an open letter warning about the potential for needless loss of life if forecasting offices aren't fully staffed. Proposed budget cuts to NOAA have led a number of Republican lawmakers from high-risk states like Oklahoma and Louisiana to speak out and encourage the administration to change course. All this as Atlantic hurricane season is just around the corner. It starts on June 1st. And forecasters are predicting it'll be quite active right from the start. Now to Oklahoma, where beginning next school year, high school U.S. history teachers will cover topics like the Revolutionary War, the Civil Rights Movement. But the state's new academic standards will also require educators to have students, quote, identify discrepancies in the 2020 presidential election results, or else risk losing their teaching certificate. That is, despite the fact that claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election have been credibly and repeatedly proven false. Beth Wallace is an education reporter with State Impact Oklahoma. She told us what these new standards, which apply to K-12 public schools, require.
Things like looking at bellwether county trends, looking at, you know, quote unquote, batch dumps of ballots, the sudden halting of ballot counting.
Parents, educators, and members of the state legislature, including a number of Republicans, as well as the governor, have raised concerns. Oklahoma's state legislature is led by Republicans, and leaders introduced a resolution to reject these standards, but there wasn't enough GOP support to pass it. Family members and educators, meanwhile, have filed a lawsuit. They argue the standards were not properly reviewed and that they, quote, represent a distorted view that favors a blatantly biased perspective. They're being represented in court by a former attorney general for Oklahoma who is a Republican. Part of their concerns stems from how the standards were introduced to the State Board of Education earlier this year, which Wallace says happened just before their vote on academic criteria that had been under consideration for over a year.
Those board members actually only had hours to look at these new standards that had been put in at the last minute. Many of the new members didn't even know about these additions.
They were introduced at the direction of Ryan Walters, the state school superintendent, a publicly elected official. He's been a strong ally of President Trump and was reportedly considered for the role of U.S. Secretary of Education.
He has a state committee to specifically implement Trump policies in Oklahoma schools. There's a video that came out a few months ago that he required schools to show students of him praying for President Trump. So this is just kind of the next thing in a long line of overtures to President Trump that Ryan Walters has made.
Some Republicans in the state have defended the standards. So has Walters, who has said he does not regret introducing them and that he believes they'll encourage critical thinking in classrooms. Wallace spoke to Tammy Patrick, the CEO for programs at the Election Center, which is an association for election administrators. She said she's concerned these new standards in Oklahoma will breed misunderstanding about how elections function and erode public trust. Things like late-night ballot counts, for example, are totally standard, not an indicator of a so-called discrepancy.
That is not teaching critical thought. Teaching critical thought is to frame it in such a way that instructs the students to find something that sounds odd to them, and then to dig deeper into why is it the case that the thing that sounds strange to you, when you put it into context, is it still odd?
If these standards remain in place by the start of the next school year, schools that do not comply risk losing their accreditation status. Before we let you go, a few other stories we're following. Palestinians are still waiting for aid after Israel said it would end its nearly three-month blockade and allow basic amounts of supplies in. The UN's humanitarian chief, Tom Fletcher, told the BBC that they have yet to see any evidence of its arrival and urged Israel to act now.
This is baby food, baby nutrition. There are 14,000 babies that will die in the next 48 hours unless we can reach them. This is not food that Hamas are going to steal.
International condemnation is growing. The UK, France, and Canada issued a joint statement declaring Israel's escalation in attacks and withholding of aid egregious and wholly disproportionate, and threatening new sanctions against Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu attacked critical leaders, saying they were handing a huge prize to Hamas. Now to immigration news. Lawyers have accused the Trump administration of defying a federal court order, claiming they are deporting Asian migrants to South Sudan, a country on the brink of civil war. Lawyers of two men from Myanmar and Vietnam say their clients were being held in U.S. custody and were told on Monday that they would be sent to South Sudan. By Tuesday morning, these men had been put on a plane along with as many as 10 other deportees. A Boston judge convened an urgent hearing where the Justice Department said one man had been sent to Myanmar, not South Sudan, but would not reveal where another man was sent. According to the Washington Post, court records show at least one individual had been sent to the African nation. A judge ruling had forbidden the administration from sending foreign nationals to, quote, third-party countries without providing meaningful notice and the chance to raise concerns. Their lawyers are asking the court to stop future flights to South Sudan and demand their return. And finally, last night, the NBA Conference Finals kicked off, which means there are just four teams left vying for the championship. In the West, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And in the East, it's the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. Now, you might not be too familiar with some of these teams and their star players. Three of them have never won a title, and the Knicks are looking for their first in over 50 years. And whoever wins this year, the NBA will crown its seventh different champion in the last 7 years. The Ringer has coined this time in the NBA as the Age of Chaos. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Scientific American looks into the claim that your mother maybe used to make, a little sunlight can cure anything. Well, it turns out, maybe not anything, but scientists are trying to understand why sunshine seems to have a calming effect on certain immune system disorders. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.